Hello and welcome to Side Podcast Episode 9, Japanese Racing Green. Oh, go on then.
Well, you know, previously I might have mentioned that I didn't like the smashed egg look of the Renault.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of the yellow and the orange and the white.
Yep.
Just kind of thrown with abandon over the car.
Lots of colours.
Well, did you see what Honda released this week?
Yes.
My goodness.
Well, it was only two colours.
Right.
Blue and green. You should like it.
There's many colours on there. Firstly, there's black.
Yeah, there's a black bit.
And there's kind of yellowy, browny bits. Oh, I hate it. I hate it more than I hate the Renault. I actually like the Renault in comparison. Side by side, I'm falling in love with the Renault.
Why do you hate it?
It's almost as if they've got Stevie Wonder to design it. That's really how I feel about it. As if someone has just looked at a car, and they've looked at a picture of the globe, and they've kind of superimposed one on the other, and yeah, that'll do. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look particularly good. It doesn't look like the Earth.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they wanted to have the back bit with the curve of the Earth. So they couldn't fit it all on because, you know, it's only a small car.
So they want it to kind of look spherical.
Yeah, so they had to put the curve.
Car.
Well, you can see what they were trying to do, though. It may not have worked, but, you know, that's why they've got the black bit at the back.
It's just, forget about why they're doing it. Forget about the premise of the whole eco thing for the moment. As a piece of design, it is appalling. It's almost, you know, when the Toro Rosso came out last year and you looked at the Toro Rosso and went, that's just a fluffy cloud. That's a red fluffy cloud. It doesn't even look like a bull because you can't superimpose a bull on a Formula One car, right?
Yeah.
You know, you remember that came out and they raced all year with it and it didn't once at any point look like a bull was chasing anyone. Well, it's kind of like that, but worse.
The thing is, the Toro Rosso didn't look bad. It just didn't look like a bull, whereas this looks bad.
It's supposed to look like something, and it doesn't. It fails in every way, shape, and form. And, I mean, Nick Frye said publicly in interviews, they've tried a couple of different designs, and not all of them have worked. And they might refine it further. Might I suggest that they can refine it completely? Going back to the black thing you were talking about, you know, with the curvature of the Earth across the back of the engine?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they did that for technical reasons rather than for anything altruistic reasons. And apparently the heat of the engine and the exhaust coming from the back of the car would melt the look of the Earth rather quickly. The trousers would just come peeling off with the delicate detail.
The stickers.
Yeah. I kind of think it's unfortunate that the world would be destroyed by an engine.
It's kind of ironic.
They kind of sidestepped that issue there. I mean, it would look quite terrible if they were racing around it and slowly bits of countries would start peeling off, like North America would just disappear.
Yeah, that wouldn't look
good. It would melt and just, it would be horrible. So, I mean, they've kind of set themselves for all sorts of chaos this year. I mean, imagine if say, if one of the end plates gone, there goes Russia. He didn't need that, but anyway, he went quicker without Russia. That kind of, do you know what I mean? It's going to be awful.
Well, you know, you're not the only one that doesn't like it.
Oh, surprise.
A spokesperson for the European Federation for Transport and Environment has said, what we know from our research is that Honda is far from reaching its EU fuel efficiency target for new cars sold. In other words, we'd rather they concentrated a bit harder on the day job.
And hired a designer.
But at least they're trying to do a good thing. The website they've set up to go along with it is myearthdream.com. It launched at the end of February and is basically a way to pledge your support to the cause and get your name on the car. I say pledge your support, I mean pledge your money.
But no, hold on. Didn't Nick say they didn't want the money?
Yeah, Nick Frye did an interview with autosport.com and he said, "The pledge, we hope, will be that they will change their personal behaviours in some way that is environmentally friendly. And if they wish so, and it is not necessarily tied together, then people can also make a donation to an environmental charity. They can even pick a pixel somewhere on the car and put their name on it."
That sounds familiar. Didn't some guy last year do the $1 million homepage whereby anyone could buy a pixel on a webpage?
Yes. That's put some advertising on it.
So that's not very original as an idea, is it?
No.
I'll tell you something else. Didn't Justin Wilson have quite a similar idea in Formula One a couple of years back when he offered chairs in himself, where people come along and buy bits of Justin Wilson in order to keep him in Formula One?
I'll have an ear, please.
I think, isn't it put together by that guy who did the Spice Girls?
Simon Fuller.
Yeah. I believe he's been given full reign to do whatever he wants with the Honda kind of advertising program. And he's kind of ripped off all these ideas from last year and years gone by and kind of rehashed them.
Nothing original.
It's nothing original at all. They're flat out of ideas.
Anyway, side podcast, we tried to pledge because, you know, we're all about the environment. I went to the website and I clicked on Make a Pledge. You get to choose the bit of car you want your pledge to show up on, although your name only appears on the website at the moment. Apparently it's going to be on the car later in the season, which is a bit rubbish. So you can choose on the car, and obviously we chose a side pod, yes. I entered the required information and picked the pledge we were choosing. You can pick between things like sharing a car or walking to work or turning off the tap when you brush your teeth.
Hold on a second. Wouldn't it be great if one of those options was share a Formula One car?
Do you know anybody with a Formula One car?
No.
So probably not then.
Not then, okay.
Simple and easy things that make quite a difference, not Formula One cars. You couldn't continue until you selected a donation, an amount between 1 and 10,000.
So it's an optional pledge then, as long as it's greater than zero.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure he was lying when he said you don't have to donate.
Or confused. You don't call him a liar. You might be misinformed.
Okay, fair enough. I decided that Side Podcast would have to think about the transaction because we don't like liars. And I backtracked from the credit card page by clicking cancel. MyEarthDream.com then thanked me for my pledge and said they would email me when it was going to go live on the website.
So they have bad designers, now they have bad website programmers.
It was weird. I didn't donate and they still thanked me. So, like you said, either he wasn't lying or their website is a bit screwed.
Right.
I know which one I think.
It's not entirely selfless, this whole pledge thing.
No, I mean, the whole thing really sidesteps the issue of not having any major sponsor since BAR quit.
No, that marketing department has consistently failed to find any big name sponsors in its entire existence.
Well, I think this year Vodafone were a potential sponsor, but they obviously chose McLaren instead. Going the route of, we don't need any sponsors, we're going to donate everything to charity, that conveniently deflects attention away from the lack of interested parties.
Yep.
Also, by showing their interest in the environment within Formula One, they're hoping that the caring persona will be reflected onto the road car as well. I think a while back there was a host of Honda road car adverts trying to explain the green direction the company was going in.
What was the annoying theme tune on those?
It went something like, make something, change something, make something, change something, make something better.
Oh, I hated those.
Yeah, they were quite annoying. Obviously, they didn't work on me at all. So Honda will be hoping that this is another step in the right direction. I have a quote from the Honda Racing chairman, Yasuhiro Wada.
What was his name?
I'm not saying it again.
Oh, I like it when you say that.
Honda constantly strives to be innovative in both its technology and its thinking, and to sincerely respond to the demands of customers and society. Honda has always made great efforts to contribute to the preservation of the environment in its corporate activity. But then a climate campaigner for Greenpeace said, "It's not an environmental revolution, it's a paint job." Which is the best soundbite ever. Whether we approve or not, it has got them in the news. Everyone is talking about it. I haven't been able to find a Formula One blog or a sports news site that hasn't mentioned it. Here we are dedicating practically an entire podcast to the subject. It's not hurting them, really, is it?
I'm not sure if we're talking about them positively.
You're listening to the weekly F1 show from Side Podcast. Don't forget to check out our store for t-shirts, mugs, keyrings and more. All the information's on the homepage. It's not just the sponsorship side of things that Honda are using to promote environmental concerns. I think both Button and Barrichello drive hybrid cars and Nick Fry drives a diesel. They've signed up with a company called Carbon Sense, which, after some research, appears to be a consultant sort of company that will help you get a bit greener. The website didn't really give much away. Honda are also doing the mundane but essential things such as turning off computer screens and using energy-efficient light bulbs. They're doing a car-sharing scheme. I'd share a car with Jensen any day.
I bet you would. Just in the name of efficiency, obviously.
Doing my bit for the environment.
Yes.
One interesting idea they have for this year is they hope to have their motorhome in the paddock powered by solar cells. That's much better than that enormous Red Bull energy centre, which is quite clearly living up to its name and using a ton of energy. Maybe we should call it the waste of energy centre. It's enormous. Super Aguri have decided that they're efficient because they're small. I'm not entirely sure how that follows, but they are definitely small.
I think what they mean is they're efficient because they're recycling a chassis. I mean, they had an A23, they turned that into an SA05.
Yeah.
And then they've got the RA06, that's becoming their SA06.
Definitely one way to recycle.
Absolutely.
Ferrari, they really do everything that the FIA tells them to. A Ferrari spokesman has said, the company respects the highest standard required by Italian law. That statement says absolutely nothing and basically means that they're doing nothing as well.
And they kind of make inefficient road cars too.
Renault are the real winners on the green front. Their factory in Enstone is basically carbon neutral with renewable energy sources and huge amounts of recycling. They recover waste metal that saves 20 tons a year, and their waste disposal systems have reduced lorry traffic by half. An on-site sewage pumping station brought about an 800% saving in energy use. That's an incredible amount. No wonder they're your favourites. The FIA state that they have been carbon neutral since 1997. This means that they offset the competition of the cars and the travel of personnel worldwide by planting trees and helping with threatened forests. But they're not really all that green, are they? There are big flaws in the competitions, such as the qualifying system in Formula One.
That is a great qualifying system. Let's go round and round and round. And what are they doing? What are they doing while they're going round and round? And what's the point of going round? They're burning off fuel.
For no reason whatsoever.
They're taking fuel out of the ground, they're putting it into a tank, and then they're driving round and round and round until it all runs out again.
Coincidentally, this week, they've decided to push back some of the eco-friendly ideas they'd been planning for 2010 to 2011.
Yeah, these are the heat and exhaust gas recovery systems you're talking about there, aren't they? They've, I think they've postponed it to keep in sync with the engine change regulations that are going to come in. They're going to try and make engines last four races.
Four?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cost-cutting idea, that, rather than an eco idea. And the idea is to encourage high efficiency and bringing in the use of biofuels.
You'd have thought they could just bring those plans forward rather than pushing everything back.
Too obvious.
Another development will be that they'll completely free up driver aids because really they need the sport to push future technology that is relevant to the road car.
You mean they're trying to make F1 have a point?
Exactly. I mean, at the moment, road cars are better than Formula One cars, aren't they?
Well, your average BMW probably is. A little bit slower, but technically better.
Max Mosley, he said, if we have teams with research programs, the object of which is to increase efficiency, then that has a direct effect on road cars. Provided F1 increases the speed with which automotive products appear, then that's justified. That's nice, having to justify his own sport. So what have they done to road cars then?
Oh, all sorts of things. Specifically tyre safety. A lot of work that Bridgestone are doing with the FIA has improved car tyre safety. Carbon fibre brakes, they came from Formula One. You get those on your high-end cars. I'm not sure if active suspension came from Formula One. Did that come there first or did it start in road cars? I think probably Formula One brought that in too. And those flappy paddle gearboxes that I know you love.
Oh, well then, it's all been worth it, hasn't it? So for all your criticism of Honda and the FIA for not being able to save the environment, what is Side Podcast going to do? Well, you know what? Until you can come up with your own good ideas, I think the best thing I can do is switch off your microphone. That should save a few kilowatts. Well, it sounds like I'll be doing the show by myself next week, so join me for the 2007 season preview. You'd be a fool to miss it.